Welcome to Grace Covenant Church on Resurrection Sunday. So very honored to be with you this morning and to celebrate our risen Lord with you. We have had an incredible week. We started last Sunday night by reading through the Bible, cover to cover. We declared the word of God over this place and over our lives and over our city and over the world. It's powerful. The Bible says that it won't return to him void. Something shifted in reality because of our action of doing that. And then we had our amazing artists come together, and they did this amazing demonstration of the passion of the Christ. And on Friday, we could walk around and we could see the stages of his suffering and his death. And we could remember again what it was that Jesus did on our behalf. And then Friday night, every sense was included as we read through together again, as we heard the story of Jesus told to us in a dramatic way, and we saw dance and we took communion, and it was a transcendent experience for me. At one point during worship of that service, I just was overcome and began to weep. That's not really my MO. And I stopped for a second and I tried to figure it out, and I felt the Lord stop me and say, it's just too big. You don't need to figure it out. Just let me rest on you in this heavy, beautiful way. And then yesterday we partied. We had 20,000 eggs and I think maybe 20,000 children on our property. You'll notice there's not a single egg left over. They sucked them up like a vacuum, and hopefully they haven't eaten all the candy yet, but great party, beautiful weather, the favor of God just resting on this place. And today, we culminate a beautiful week with Resurrection Sunday, celebrating our risen Lord and Savior. So I just want to take a minute right now, and I want to tell you again the story, the whole story, just so that we can understand again together. God created our world, and it was perfect. And he made people to be the object of his love and his affection, and he gave us the choice to love back and to trust him. And we blew it. It didn't take long. And we severed our relationship with God, our Father. And we tried to work our way back into relationship with good behavior and laws. But sin and death had entered the world. And as hard as we tried, we couldn't conquer them on our own. We couldn't make our way back to God. But because God is so merciful, and because he loved the world so much, he gave us his Son. And Jesus, being God, left his place of deity and became fully man. He was supernaturally born of a virgin. He lived. He learned to build things with his dad. He was a carpenter by trade. He taught people about the kingdom of God, and he showed people how to live differently. He showed us how to love unconditionally. He healed people, and he set the oppressed and the possessed free. He upset a few, mostly the elite, the ones who had it all figured out, the ones who were really good at keeping the rules. Oh, and he told everybody that he was God's own son, the Messiah, the only way to God the Father, and that really made them angry. So one of his best friends betrayed him, and he was sentenced to die. And he was sentenced to die on a cross like a criminal. This was the most gruesome, slow, and horrible death. But he never defended himself, and he went to the cross. He went purposefully to be our perfect sacrifice. And he suffered. He was beaten. He was whipped. And in the greatest demonstration of love, he died for us. And the ransom for our sin was forever settled because of it. That was Friday. That was what happened on Friday. And Friday would have been enough. The payment for our sins, the forgiveness that he offered, that would have been enough. But Scripture tells us that on the third day, he rose again. Today is Sunday, and our Lord Jesus, our Savior, has risen. He is no longer dead. He's in no grave, but he is alive forevermore, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is right here with us, living in this very room right now. He is alive. We have been in a series based on John Ortberg's book called The Life You've Always Wanted, and where we've been looking at taking a fresh look at some spiritual disciplines that lead to a transformed life, one that looks like the life of Jesus. And how beautiful and how fitting is it that one of the disciplines that we are encouraged of in Scripture is that of celebration. What a God who is in such a good mood that he encourages us and tells us to not forget and not put aside that thing of celebration. He is joyful. He is filled with joy, and he wants us to walk in that same revelation of his joy. And Easter gives us plenty to celebrate about. In fact, every reason for our celebration, every cause for our joy is wrapped up in the reality of Easter. Let's look first at his joy. Hebrews 12:2. In the ESV, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Passion Translation says it this way: we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. I love that. The joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was full of joy. He didn't complete his assignment begrudgingly, like a big brother who has to pick up his little brother's mess. It wasn't obligation and it wasn't duty. It wasn't even moral fortitude. It was for the joy set before him. It was for you. It was for you. It was for you because he looks at you and the redemption of you, and it fills him with so much joy that instead of skirting the pain, he walked towards it. So he looked beyond the shadow of the cross, and he saw you whole, and he saw you filled, and he saw you healed, and he saw you set free. And that, the thought of that, filled him with such joy that he had the strength to walk through the agony of the cross to the other side for you and for me. For the joy set before him. His joy over us has won us an eternal celebration. Because we know where we'll be forever and ever. Our redemption was his prize, but he is our very, very great reward. The good news of the gospel, this story I've just recounted to you, is the foundation for all of our joy. Our joy is built on what his joy paid for. And today, I'm believing that we're not just going to talk about joy, because that would be a waste of time, but we are going to enter into a new understanding and a new experience of joy, because it's what Jesus paid for. In Psalm 52, the writer says, "Would you restore to me the joy of my salvation?" And for those of us who have walked with God for a long time, that is exactly what I am praying the Lord does for you today. Whatever level of joy you are currently walking in, that you would get an upgrade in Jesus' name today. And that for those of you who have not yet made a decision to start this journey of joy, that you would say yes to the joy that he's paid for your life. So I want to remind us today of the good news of the gospel. And so I'm going to share with you the good news, and then I have some really good news I want to share with you, and then I have some really, really good news, because try as I might, I couldn't find anything depressing in this. It's all good news for us. He swallowed up all the bad. He took it all upon himself that we might live in the fullness of his sacrifice for us. Good news. So the first bit of good news, the one where I think we're all pretty comfortable with, where we know this good news, we have a pretty good understanding of this, and this is the good news that Jesus forgave us of our sins. That his death on the cross actually removed the guilt away from us. He took on the sin himself. And because we have been made new, because that sin no longer defines us, because now when God the Father looks at us, he sees the perfection of his Son Jesus, we now have an easy road into eternity with God the Father. That is good news. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is beyond our comprehension, really. This is beyond our ability to describe or explain. Just like my transcendent experience on Friday night, there really aren't words that are adequate to describe what really happened on that Friday at the cross. Trying to hold the whole of Easter is like trying to shove the ocean into a bottle. It's so big and it's so vast and it's so beyond what we can comprehend. But somehow, some way, all of our sin, past, present, and future, was absorbed into the body of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Somehow, some way, he wore it all. He took it upon himself. The weight was on him and it crushed him. He took it so that we could have eternity with him. And you know what's amazing is that as Jesus is on the cross and he's dying, he's suffocating in his own blood is what was happening. And some of his last words, he says, "Father, forgive them." I would have said, "Get them." Not Jesus. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And with that, all our guilt, all our shame, all condemnation, all fear, washed away. Washed away. Through the sacrifice of Jesus. That is good news. You want to hear some really good news? Jesus broke the power of sin and death. He broke it. Jesus broke the power of sin and death. Jesus carried on his shoulders the fate of the whole world, and he carried it through death. He didn't cheat death, he beat death. Jesus carried sin through death, and his victory over death is our victory. Every song we sang this morning about coming out of the grave, we only have that right and that permission because Jesus came out of the grave. He made a way for us to walk out of the death in our own lives. Revelation 1:18 says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Look, the devil lost so bad he doesn't even have the keys to his own house anymore. Our enemy, the devil, has been soundly defeated. He has no leg to stand on. He has no right to your life. He has no foot in the door unless we allow it, because we, through Jesus, hold the keys. It's really good news. His death paid for our guilt, but his life assures us freedom. And it is our joy. It is our joy to take up that freedom and to walk in it. All right, how about some really, really good news? I hope you're happy about this, because it doesn't get much better. It doesn't get any better. Really, really good news. His kingdom has come. His kingdom has come. Easter is what it is because together with Jesus' crucifixion, it was the central event in all of world history. It is the crux of history. We define time by these events. Before this happened, everything was moving towards it. And now, after the resurrection, everything is made new because of it. Everything has been birthed from that place of his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you." This is Paul speaking. "As of first importance." I like how he settles that. What's the most important thing? Right here. This is what's most important. "That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and was raised on the third day." Now, I want you to see something. In the original language here, when we look at this text, died is past tense, buried is past tense. But when it says that he was raised from the dead, you actually find that in the original language in perfect tense. And when you find it in perfect tense, there's implications of past. Yes, he did raise from the dead. And present. And future. So Jesus didn't just raise himself from the dead, but he continues to raise. He continues to rise. His resurrection is not a past event in history, but his resurrection is alive in every believer. His resurrection is demonstrated through your life. As believers, it is our joy and our privilege that our lives would be demonstrations of his resurrection power. So the dead things in your life, he wants to rise on it. The places of hopelessness and despair and anxiety and grief, he wants to resurrect himself on those very areas of your life. And I believe he wants to do it today.
That's right. Amen.
It's really, really good news. It's a really, really good news of the gospel. And there's more. There's more. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is alive and he's well and he's living inside of each of you today. And I think I need to sing about this. Join me as we celebrate. Celebrate again. Stand. Let's celebrate.